بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Hazrat Auf ibn Malik Ash-Ja'i radiallahu anhu says that we were on our way to Mu'ta. It was one of the first great battles against the Romans, where Hazrat Zayd ibn Harisa was first appointed as the Amir. If he is Shaheed, then Hazrat Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. And if he is Shaheed, then Abdullah ibn Rawaha. Then if he is also Shaheed, then the Muslims should decide as to who should be appointed after him. So they proceeded. On the way, one person that was not enlisted in the army had joined up. Such a person, normally they call him a Madadi. Okay, formally he is not listed, but he enlisted himself. He had nothing but a sword, no shield, no armament, nothing to protect him. Nonetheless, on the way one person slaughtered a camel. So as it is, the skin would have been useless, so I asked him for part of the skin, and I made up my shield with that skin, and then perhaps some sticks, whatever. So that was my shield. And the battle commenced, and there was one Roman, very strong, very well, and he was just mowing down Muslims, one after the other. He was just doing this. So this Madadi says that I must work a plan against this person. So I hid behind a rock and I waited for him to come around. As he came around, I cut off his horse's leg and he fell off. As he fell off, I broke his neck, finished. So the armament that he was wearing was quite expensive. The armor, the shield, and the sword, the weapons that he was carrying, was all gold-plated, pure gold. So it was quite expensive what he had. Now, the Amir has got a right to say, "Man qatala qatilan falahu salabuhu." That whoever finishes any soldier, then he can take the loot. He's got the right to say so. The war had ended, and it was the chance for the Muslims to take on the spoils. So rightfully, the spoils would have been this Madadi's. So at the distribution, Hazrat Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu is administrating the whole distribution. So it as it comes to this Madadi's loot and his spoil, or his share of the spoils, so I suggested to Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu that this person accomplished this work. When he accomplished this work, so this must be given to him. But Khalid radiallahu anhu felt it was a little too much, so he made it part of the entire spoil. Not something exclusive to him, rather it must be distributed evenly amongst the soldiers. Auf radiallahu anhu says that, "No, this is not right. I'm going to report this to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Nonetheless, he brought it to the attention of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt it was right to give it to this Madadi. So Auf says, "Then I spoke to Khalid in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See, I told you, I'll report you. See, I fixed you up now." So Nabi Sallam asked him, "What happened?" So Khalid or Auf related the entire incident. Nabi Sallam wasn't pleased with this. "Hal antum tariku li umara'i lakum safwatu umurihim wa alayhim kadratuha." So kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People that I have appointed as the Amir, as the head of the army, as the head of any movement, then won't you spare them? When they're going to be deciding, there are going to be two type of matters that they're going to be deciding. Sometimes it will be clear and distinct, absolutely clear. So when it's absolutely clear what they're presiding about, then you will enjoy the benefit. But if it is something that is controversial, something that is not very clear, then you don't worry about it, because it's not too clear. When it's not too clear, then the consequence will be on their head, not on your head. And then he instructs Hazrat Khalid, now don't give it, leave it as the spoil of the war. In other words, the Amir has got the right to use his discretion. Preferably it would be that he gives it to the person who accomplished this mission, right? But he's not under any obligation to do it. It's just a matter of preference. So the Khalid radiallahu ta'ala did something that was not the most preferred thing. And therefore Rasulullah asked him, O Khalid, return it to the Madadi. But when all these things surfaced, the Wisdom found out that this was not the right way how Auf ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala conducted himself. This is now, O Khalid, don't return it. But there are several things that you learn here. The one most distinct thing that you learn here is the person that is being reprimanded, that is the Auf radiallahu ta'ala, he is reporting this hadith word for word. He's the victim. Like I would say, he's catching it, right? He's being reprimanded, but word for word, verbatim, he is quoting the whole thing. You know, when I see the Sahaba Ikram and I see these incidents here, I say, this is nothing but the miracle of a peace lesson. He's being reprimanded, right? He's being reproached, right? He's taking the brunt, but with the Shia is reporting the entire hadith. That this is my Nabi, this is what he said. Irrespective if my name goes, but his word must prevail. That's what he was saying. If my name goes, it's alright. But the honor of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the word of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the teaching of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must prevail. My name goes, 100 people's names go also, it's alright. But his name must prevail. See, now can you replace the Sahaba Ikram? You can't replace them. If it is something related to us, somehow we'll try and manipulate to say, no, the masala is like this. I think there is something in the hadith about it. But we will never, ever be in the position to accept the guilt. You know, I was wrong about it. If we being, say, our elder had reprimanded us, have we got that heart to go and say, you know, I was wrong, and my elder corrected me, and this was the sequence of the events, this is how it happened. Can't do it. It's impossible. For us to think something else, it's impossible. Right? And if we are corrected, right, then the opposite party, we will have a grudge for him. Yeah, his person here, he did this. You know, he did this. So for the rest of time, we'll have a grudge. Okay, on account of this person here, I was disgraced. I was dishonored because of him. So now, look at the Sahaba Ikram, the cleanliness of the heart, the purity of the souls, the cleanliness and the goodness of their minds, absolutely fabulous. It's something out of this world. We can't imagine the level of purity, the level of goodness, you can't imagine, it's beyond us. Number two, the second very important thing you will have in life is you will have your dini leaders, like Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu was a leader here, right? And it was directly or indirectly the instruction of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that was being followed. So as though it was instructed, but he was appointed by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? Now we will, then it's our duty to respect him, to honor him. And when he's going to be presiding over matters, there's going to be two types of matters. Sometimes the matter is absolutely clean, clear. There's no ambiguity whatsoever. It's categorical, absolutely clear. So it's absolutely clear, there's no reason for any doubt, right? And sometimes his rulings will not be absolutely clear. We'll have some type of reservation in his rulings. Right? When we have a reservation in his rulings, then we won't run him down. We won't disgrace him. We won't humiliate him. Right? Because we have appointed him as the leader, he is above us, on account of his virtue, on the virtue of his knowledge, of his understanding, of his taqwa, of his righteousness, we have appointed him as above us, right? So there may be situations that we may not be very clear. So how are we supposed to behave in the face of these type of situations where it's not absolutely clear, there is something ambiguous, something not very clear, how are we expected to behave? Right. So the simple procedure will be that if you are not very clear about it, leave it, don't make a noise about it. Are you absolutely certain that this person who has presided over a matter is wrong? You are clear about it, so you keep quiet. Don't make a noise about it. His ruling, his judgment may be better, his righteousness and virtue may be better, right? His understanding of situations may be better, his sight may be far better than your sight and vision. So why are you making a noise? Do you have that type of exposure, that type of knowledge, that type of maturity? Do you have it? When you don't have that type of maturity, that type of understanding, that type of reasoning ability, and you are not in a position of ruling and understanding it so comprehensively, so keep quiet. You see, this coming from the same hadith, that you're not in the position of understanding things so well. You don't have that level of maturity. You don't have that level of comprehensive understanding. He's understood it. He's looking at a long term, he's looking at situations in a long term, and he's taking a decision. And he's got the support of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What else do you want? He's got the support of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What else do you want? Hal antum tariku li umarai. And he has been appointed either directly or indirectly by Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What gives you the right to speak about him? I ask you, when we find this type of controversies, then if all of us had remained silent, would it have been better if all of us begin to talk, oh, this person said this, and he said this, and that person said this, and this paper is saying this. What would have been the better situation? We all remain absolutely silent, and we say, all right, you know what, perhaps they have got some reasoning for what they're doing, and we just left that. Sort of we cordoned it off. We cordoned it off and we left it there. So wouldn't that have been better than I putting my 5 pence, he's putting his 10 pence, he's putting his 2 cents, everybody. Now, when we have that attitude, then we may think that we are contributing towards deen. But what is happening to the common person is getting lost. Yeah, but this person is saying this, that person is saying this, this other person beside the Walima table, he was talking about this. So now, it's a great confusion. When you come into this great confusion, then you don't know which line to take. This one, yeah, or that one. So the best approach would have been, we just remain absolutely silent. Number two, what we absolutely sure about, we go on that line. We're not sure about, we leave, we just cordon off and move on. Just as a case example, it may sound a little bit humorous. At a walima table, someone is serving prawns, right? It's for example. A wealthy person is serving prawns, right? And one mullah says, oh, you know, but it's makru. Another one says, it's haram. Another says, Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah said this. Right? But there are other varieties. There's ghost there is other mutton there's beef and all that there. Nobody forces you to eat this one here. If you're not going to eat it, you're not going to be doing haram. If you didn't eat that prawns, have you committed the haram? But there is a controversy now carrying on. He's saying it's haram, he's saying it's makruh, he's saying makruh at-tanzi, he's saying makruh at-tahrimi. A lot of things are floating around. But I ask you, if you don't eat it, will you be doing a haram? You're not going to be doing a haram. All you're going to do is, hey, that smell is very tempting, you know. And I don't know why this Mawlana had to say that this is haram. He would have said, bhaji is haram, you know, it's alright. Why have you come up with this? And now the thing, when he's right in front of me, and he's talking about it. So now, the simple procedure would have been, just suppress yourself, cordon that off, leave it aside. There's other varieties, enjoy yourself, and carry on, continue. No, why did he say haram? Everybody wants to give their 2 cents. He wants to give 2 cents, 5 cents, 100 cents, everybody wants to give something. As a result, there's so much of sense, right? There's no nonsense then. There's so much of sense going on. So that is why I feel in this age and time, most of these emails, and this is running around, you know, email sometime, Twitter is going around, most of it should not be read. لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّن نَجْوَاهُمْ The Quran says it very clearly. Most of the secret conversations, so the Twitter and all that, is it an open thing or is it a secret thing? Secret thing, going only to you. The third person can't see what's in your mail. So most of it, don't read it. Khalas, just block it off, put it aside and continue with your life. Now you're going to read that thing, right? Isn't it going to bring some type of agony, grief to your life? Are you not going to have some reservation about some person? Whereas your mind was very clear about someone, now your mind is polluted about that same very person. And Nabi Sallam says to the Sahaba Ikram, don't bring any stories about my Sahaba to myself. Ana uridu an akhruja fikum wa ana salim as-sadr. Or kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. That I wish to come out in your midst in a state that my mind, my heart is absolutely clean for you, for everybody. What he's telling us, that you see, I enjoy the cleanliness, the purity of the soul and the mind at home. That my azwaj mutahara, they're not talking any nonsense. They're not talking about ghibah and gossip and anything else. It's nothing, no gossip, no ghibah, no slander, no false allegation. They're such a pure jamaat. I stay with them, my heart is absolutely clean when I'm with them. Now this level of purity and clarity I desire, that I maintain this type of purity and cleanliness when I'm in your midst as well. Right. So he's telling us that this is the level of purity that I enjoy, I experience. This must be maintained. And it's also telling us that a man can be affected with news and information. If the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doesn't want this, what he's telling us, he can get affected. When he can get affected, can't we get affected? No matter how truthful that news and information may be, but you hear something that is disheartening, disappointing, as a man, do you get affected or not? You will definitely get affected. Sheikh Saadi is a little bit of a humorous character, right? But there's a lot of wisdom in what he says. In his statements, there's a lot of wisdom. And his kitabs have to be read again and again, but not just as a reader of, you know, a child reader. Children's reading mustn't be read like that. Though in Indian madrasas, it's read as a children reader. But it must be read after you've been matured. So this one, two incidents I'm giving you of his kitab. Sheikh Saadi got married to a woman, you see. So how it happened was that he was traveling towards this Baitul Muqaddas around the 7th, 8th century. You know, when this trouble took place. The Christians and the Muslims. And for 400 years or something, the Christians had been ruling over the Baitul Muqaddas. So he was traveling in that territory and he was taken as a spy. So they jailed him up. One of his friends came around. They said, what's happened to you, Sheikh? That's what happened. So he bailed him out. He paid some 10 rupees or whatever, 10 dirhams or something, and he bailed him out. And then he got him married to his daughter for 1,000 dirham. So anyway, everything, the marriage carried on and all that. So women are always 2 cents short, right? So you can't take them seriously. The Hadith says it clearly that they are short, they must be short. So no matter who's your wife, whether she's a doctor or the doctor's dadi, right? But when the Hadith says that she is short, she will be short. So you must take her, she's short. Now, if you take her now, she's a doctor, she's a specialist, and she's going to only be speaking brains and intelligence, and what she said is like wahi, then you're going to cause problems for yourself. She's short, so she's short. You have to take her like how a child speaks. Sometimes they'll talk nonsense and all that. Do you take it serious? You don't take it serious. As an adult, you don't take it serious. Because it's a child. A child is supposed to be talking in a little bit of a deficient way. So they will talk a little bit in a deficient manner. That is why Allah Pak put you over them, not them over you. That ar-rijalu qawwamun, that you are the ruler over them, that deficiencies of this, you can cover it up. And therefore Allah Pak asked them to be at home, not to be out. They're like prisoners. Not a good example to illustrate. But When a person is not right, right, then what is the right thing to do? To confine him, isn't it? Right. Now don't mention all this stuff to your wife, etc. Sab kahenge ki sabko pagal khana mein bhej diya. Send everybody to the asylum. But isn't it the right? When a person is not mentally all there, then what do? You confine the person, you restrict his movement, because he'll do something stupid just now. So when the Quran says, keep them at home, right, there's a reason for that. And if you want to go out of this, there's going to be stupidity, is going to be prevailing throughout the world. Corruption, problems, difficulties. But why didn't you listen? You want to use your own brains, you want to challenge your brains against the instruction of the Quran and Hadith. You must have problems. Whether you kept them in the shop, kept them in the business, in the factory, wherever you kept them. But it's out of the parameters of the Quran. When it's out of the parameters, you're going to have problems. I said, no, my daughter is not like that. But my daughter is an exception. My daughter is an exception. Everybody is an exception. Then will you have any rule then? Everyone says, I'm an exception. So is there going to be any rule? This is a robot there, right? The paramedic says, I'm an exception. Alright, very good. He's an exception. But I see the paramedic, I see I'm an exception. The next motorist sees me. Is there going to be any reason for the robot there? No, you keep the real robot. He's the only exception. The paramedic is the only exception to the rule. You can't take the cue from him because he's an exception, so I'm an exception as well. So anyway, they're living now. So, like I say, this woman, they have that 2 cents short, you see. And men are therefore appointed to be the rulers over them. When they are the rulers over them, so one day she blurted out, said, yeah, you know you, my father bailed you out for the 10, who are you? Well, Sheikh Sadi is also very intelligent, yeah. He says, yeah, you know what, he bailed me out for 10, but he imprisoned me for 1,000. So you can't be so gullible also, so gullible. Everything that she says, you just swallow that thing, man. So the Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullah says, and this is what I want to share with you, see. There's going to be information, some is palatable, sweet, enjoyable, right? And some is not going to be pleasant, unpleasant, but hurtful, painful, etc. So he says that hurtful, that grief, the painful information, leave it for the owl. You know, in Indian law, they say that when that owl sounds in its shouts, it's shouting some type of calamity. What? When it makes a noise, it's like a calamity that it's talking about. It's pre-warning you of some calamity. So, as though they attribute all evil, etc. to the owl, right? So, he said, all that evil and hurtful and grieving news, leave it for the owl. But you be the person that's going to be only giving good news. So when they see you, say, hey, well, my smile came, now what good news is coming up? Hey, so-and-so got walima there, and that person getting married this side here, oh, he's got a child this side, or that person won R1 million. Say, hey, you know what good news is going to come. But if it's going to be that he's going to be carrying all evil news, you know, bad news, oh, that person got attacked, and there was a murder here, and this person got hijacked, and that person there, you know, he died there. So now, we're apprehensive, when he saw my smile, hey, I don't know who died now. So leave that evil news, leave it for the owl, let him do all the dirty news. You be for the good news. So if your wife sees you, people see you at a walima, anywhere, it's good news. It's good is just flowing out of you. Oh, he got married there, he got a son there, that person went to America, he went for Hajj, he got accredited for Hajj, he's going for 4 months. So all good news, you give the good news. That bad news, and all, leave it for someone else. Let someone else do that job. But you don't assign yourself to that bad job. So hal antum Tariku li umara'i. Won't you spare my amirs for myself? When I appointed the person for the job, he's done something, use his discretion. It can be one of two situations. He was spot on 100%. Or there was something that was unclear. If it was unclear, then you don't worry about it. You don't get yourself involved in it. You're not feeling clear about it, leave it. Just leave the thing. But you don't go and get yourself involved in that masala. You're not sure about it. You don't have the knowledge. You don't have the information before you. You don't have all the facts before you. You don't have the level of intellectual maturity. You're not seeing it a long term, short term. So you just keep quiet about it. There may be many a reason why that person is doing what he's doing. For a case example, just a simple example. It's a lengthy hadith in Abu Dawud Sharif, in other kitabs of Bukhari Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, nearly all the kitabs have got it. It was about the administration of some waqf property, right? And jointly Hazrat Abbas and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu have been appointed as the administrators of the waqf property. Right? Hazrat Abbas is the uncle, Hazrat Ali is the nephew, and both have been jointly appointed as administrator. They're going to administer, they're going to be like the mutawalli, the trustees of this entire thing. They're going to run the thing. Because the waqf has got, like, you know, millions of rand coming out, revenue. And the revenue has to be then distributed. Poor, orphans, destitute, etc. They're going to be administering. In the state, the government can't control everything. Can it control everything? No. Then he'll have his confidants, people they respect, people that they have, they trust in. So he's going to get some portfolio. Now they have been given this type of a portfolio that you administer this thing. Nonetheless, after some times, the uncle and the nephew, they couldn't get along. It's a matter of administering finance, and the uncle and the nephew can't get along. The reason for them not being able to get along was Ali radiallahu anhu's mizaj and temperament is different, and the uncle's temperament is different. Ali radiallahu's mizaj and his temperament is such, anybody came with a sad story, I want 1,000, take 2,000 and go move. You came in another story, 500, take 1,000 and go. So, labor. It's like, you know, is your grandfather's shop, his mitai shop, and you came to do the fatiha there, in your grandfather's mitai shop. So anybody came there, it's all in the house, grandfather's shop, I can do as I want. So that he was a little bit open-handed, he was just giving. He's giving freely. And Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu, he had a lot of controls, administer, and long-term, short-term, how should I budget the whole thing? So he was looking at it very carefully. Now he's looking at the long-term. And this man is looking at it in the short-term, somebody's coming by take. He wants something by take. And Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu is controlling it. He's quite strict. But I gave you last month, now I came again. Understand? But you got something last month, but why did you come again? So he was controlling, and his control is quite tight. And this man is controlling also, but he's controlling is a little bit easy. Now because of that, they were having problems. So when they had problems, so they came up to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, that's the Khalifa of the time. Said, we have got some problem in this administering. So what do you do? It's a big portfolio, right? They're stretching for a couple of good miles, right? This whole portfolio, his properties are running for a couple of good miles. So dedicate about 5 miles to him, that he must manage that property there, and I will administer the other 5. So divide the whole thing. Split the whole thing, he'll take half, and I will take half. وَهُمَا كَانَا يَطْلُبَانِ الصَّوَابِ Abu Dawud has got it. What they were asking for, was it haram? Was it impermissible? Was it wrong? I ask you. What they were asking for, was it haram? Were they encroaching on someone's property? Were they exploiting someone? Were they extorting someone's property? No. They felt that this will be a better move in view of administering. That, well, he has got one section to administer, I got another section to administer, so we got a difference of opinions. He'll be able to run his thing freely, I'll be running my thing freely, and we'll not clash into each other. Now, do you see, both of them, are they encroaching on anybody's rights? Are they extorting anybody? Are they exploiting anybody? Are they making zulm? Nothing of that nature. It's just that they feel that there'll be a better understanding in this respect. And when they suggested this or requested this to Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu blankly refused. مَخَافَةَ أَن يُقِيَ عَلَيْهِ إِسْمُ الْقِسْمَ Umar radiallahu anhu blankly refused. I'm not going to do this. حَتَّى تَقُومُ السَّاعَ Even if Qiyamah comes, I'm not going to distribute this thing here. You say that you want the whole thing to be divided, that he runs one section and I run another section. I'm not going to allow this. I'm not going to allow this right till the day of Qiyamah. I'm not going to allow it. Why am I not going to allow it? Because Rasulullah had basically two main is. One was Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, right? She's the only living heir, right? Only living child. When she's the only living child after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then according to the law of inheritance, she must get half. Because she's the only living daughter, and when she's the only living daughter, then she must get a half. And then the remainder must go to the closest male relative. And the closest male relative is Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu, because he's the only living uncle. Hazrat Hamza has already passed on. He passed away around the third year, right? So, who's the only living male relative to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? The closest male relative is Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu. He's the closest. When he's the closest male relative, then he must get the remainder. Right? Now, if Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu had succumbed and divided the whole thing between Hazrat Fatima and between Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu, what would have been the story? The story would have been that the inheritance of Nabi Sallam has been divided. Whereas Nabi Sallam had said, La nurasu ma tarakna sadaqatun. Right? That nobody is our heir. Our Anbiya alayhi muslim, nobody is the heir of a Nabi. Nobody is the heir of a Nabi. Of his assets, etc. Right? And there was a blessing that Allah Ta'ala made it such that a Nabi has got no heirs. Because, you know, psychologically sometimes this thought runs in the mind. Okay. You know, I am Marijai Toharu. You know, all that thing would roll onto us. The old man, his chacha is here now. He is here and he's controlling that asset. Like a lion there, you know, like a snake there on the asset there. He must move. We got the control. So, can't that thought linger in your mind? It can. Can it? I don't have the freedom now. He's around there now. Everything is tight up here just because of this man here. Now imagine if your heir, if an heir had the same type of a desire for a Nabi, then what would have happened? He would have lost his iman. He's waiting for the Nabi to die, so he can collect. So if an heir had that type of an opinion about his Nabi, what could have happened to him? He would have been destroyed. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ruled it off. Our heirs don't get anything. Whatever we leave behind, in other words, we are administering properties, whatever we are administering, and whatever we are running, all that will go into the sadaqah fund. In other words, in the general interest of the Muslims. It's not going to be running into our families. It's not going to be running to us, our families, our friends. It's going to be running into the interest of the people, the general public. So if Umar radiallahu anhu had succumbed to this, what would have happened? People have said that the inheritance, the estate of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was divided between Hazrat Fatima, that he's his daughter, and the uncle that was the closest male relative, right? It would have gone completely against that hadith, which says that we don't have any heirs. So as Umar says, I'm not going to allow this. And I'm not going to allow this hatta taquba sa'a. Qiyamah may come, but I'm not going to do this. Now I ask you, what they were asking was haram. It's not haram. But it was a vision of Umar radiallahu anhu, it was a sight, right? Basirat. You know, you look at a thing and you look at long term. When you look at long term, that this is what's going to happen eventually. It's going to pan out like this. People will misconstrue the fact. When they will misconstrue it, they will not understand that the Nabi doesn't have an heir. They will not understand. They'll see, hey, half this side, half when this side, half when that side. Why do I like this? So with the passage of time, they will misconstrue the whole thing. So to avoid this type of a misconstrual, this was the sight and the vision of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. See. So sometimes an Amir is doing something and you don't have the understanding. Now imagine people like Ali radiallahu anhu, Abbas radiallahu anhu, they have got one opinion and they were giants, you know, they were like kings of education and knowledge. They're not ordinary person. Ali radiallahu anhu is Babul Madinatul Ilm or Babul Ilm, is a door to Ilm. But when Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu had presided over the case, then he left it as it were. Then he was appointed as Khalifa, but he didn't make any amendments to it. But the Khalifa before me, he had decided in this manner, and I am the Khalifa, I've got the right to control and to make adjustments, but I'm not going to make that adjustment because his reasoning was sound. That people will misconstrue the whole thing. They'll say, no, you know what, this estate of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being divided in this manner. So I don't want, أَيُّقِيَ عَلَيْهِ إِسْمَ الْقِسْمَةِ. There must not be this type of a misconstruing by people. So one lesson we learn is when a person is being appointed as an Amir, then respect him. Then you don't use your brains against him. It may be that there is some wisdom in what you are saying. But if you want to give your 2 cents all the time, right, there can't be a situation where you can't challenge it. Someone says something and you can challenge it. And someone says something and you can challenge it. You can always challenge it. With the passage of time, what's going to happen? That Amir will say, by these people, whatever I'm saying, they're challenging me. So it's no need for me to rule over anything yet. Because whatever I say, they're going to challenge it. I'm going to say something, they're going to oppose it. They're coming up with logical reasoning and proof. So is there going to be any type of progress with this type of situation? So why did they appoint me as Amir? When they're challenging my decisions, then why have they appointed me? They shouldn't have appointed me. Now that they have appointed me, sometimes some things will be absolutely clear, some things will not be that clear. When it's not that clear, then they must just listen to me. Provided I'm not trying something that is totally haram. It's absolutely clearly haram, obviously you don't want to listen to anybody then. But when there is something of ambiguity, listen to me. What you feel controversial, you don't feel clear about, just cordon it off, leave it one side, but you move on. Now you avoid a problem, you avoid any type of conflict, any type of controversy, you have moved on, the work and the cause hasn't been restricted, hasn't been stopped, and overall, the people's hearts are clear and clean. See, he's over here, Malik Ashjai, he's reporting this hadith. But do you see his heart for Khalid? Has he got any bad? He's got any sour feelings, bitter feelings towards him? No bitter feelings towards him. So the one thing that we need to understand, that when we appoint someone as our head, our dini guide, etc., then there may be some things that we're not clear about. Let him have the better of it. Although what he's saying, I can challenge what he's saying, right? But let him have the better. It's alright. What will happen on his end, his confidence will grow. See that my people, what I say, they listen to it. They're not challenging what I'm saying. Otherwise, he will think, no, it's not for me to tell them anything, because I'm going to say anything and they're going to be challenging. I'm going to say something, don't do it, they're going to challenge me. I'm going to challenge something, they're going to challenge me again and again, right? Like for example, the elder said, on an Eid day, then just close your shop, right? So now you are employing your mind, but doing business on an Eid day is not haram. No way it states in the Quran and Hadith. What right, what gives him the right and authority to ask us not to open up the shop? Right? He may have some reasons for telling you not opening the shop. I listen to him, there'll be afiyat, there'll be ease in that. He will feel confident. His morale will grow, because he'll feel that people are taking from me, and these people, alhamdulillah, they want hidayat, they want to be guided, so I need to be more committed to them. But the moment they begin to challenge now, then is he going to feel himself in a position to guide these people? So, no, I don't need to guide them, because they are brainy themselves, they are intelligent themselves, so they can move on. So he will lose the morale that he is supposed to be having. So on your end, this can happen in a shop situation, can happen in a home situation. Father is saying something. You can challenge your father, but is that the better thing to do? When you're not absolutely clear, if he's saying something that's absolutely wrong, then you're not going to listen to him. Say, no, father says, take the gun, shoot everybody down. You're not going to listen to him then. Right? You say, he lost it now, he'll move away. From the danger, he'll move away. But you're not going to do that. But it's something that is, you think something, your father thinks something, but let him do it. You say, no, tomorrow is a dawat, and you say you have naan kalya. The father says have biryani. Right? And now, you thinking to yourself, biryani now every day, every occasion, biryani. We had enough of it now, came right to the hilt. I can challenge him on that, that naan kalya is better than biryani. But is that the better thing to do? But he said it, let it happen. Won't he feel nice? Can see my children, whatever I tell them, they just take it in the stride. They don't even challenge me. They respect me so much. Doesn't his morale pick up? See? Now, this is the type of relationship we need to have with our elder. Then he feels confident, his morale is up, and overall there is a good atmosphere all around. Number one. Number two is this, that in any work, we need to respect authority. When there is a respect for authority, there is control, there is goodness, and there is comfort all around. You know, those of us that had seen the early 60s, right? Early 60s, it was the Afrikaner government, right? If there was just one white police around, everybody would shiver. Literally would shiver. I know, the early 60s I used to see, used to have that Dumpas police coming around. They have that Dumpas vans, and they have that Dumpas police coming around. One police, just one police, in the midst of 1,000 blacks, you know, is enough. Hey, everybody will be running. And he'll just pick people at random, push them into his van. And nobody got the heart to challenge him. But at that time, I remember, we had a shop right in the where the blacks used to be living. We're carrying money, the takings for the day, cutting through the taxi rank and coming home. No fear, absolutely no fear. Because there was respect for that authority. There was respect for that authority, so we carried that money in our pockets, came through the rank, and I came right home, but absolutely no fear. Now I tell you, with 10 police around, do you feel secure? Now you don't feel secure. Why? There's no respect for that authority. So we understand that there is the need to respect that authority. There is the need to have that confidence in that authority. For things to run smoothly, for peace, to give peace a chance, we need to have the respect. But now, the musibat is in this day, everything has to be explained. Small little things like this, we thought it was logical, people will just understand it. Again, kya musibat ho gayi, kya, we have gone so dense, every small little thing has to be explained. Small little thing. People took it, and they understood it. And they moved on. Their lives, there was a quality life. Though they may have not been quantity. But can you dispute the fact that there wasn't quality in their lives? There was quality in their lives. Hazrat Mawlana Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Alayh, he's got his taluk with Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Now look at, instead of talking of confidence, respect and confidence, and how it pans out. Now both Hazrat Mawlana Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh and Hazrat Mawlana Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Alayh, both were contemporaries, right throughout their lives, they were together, they worked together. And both are the teachers of Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. We consider them, we count them as the seniors, and thereafter Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. But who was superior in rank, Allah Pak knows. It's not for us to take a judgment that he was superior and he was inferior, right? As Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi was asked, who was greater, Alqama or Aswad? Now both are like his teachers, right? So someone asked him that who was superior? Now look at the answer. He says, these two personalities were so great that I don't even feel myself, I don't count myself capable of even taking the names, let alone making a judgment over them that who is superior and who is inferior. Now today we have got the right to say, this person here, this sahabi was greater, this person was greater. Randomly we just talk. Here that means Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah didn't have understanding, no education, no sound, mature education. He didn't have that understanding. So he couldn't even talk about people that were in his zamana, that who was superior and who was not superior. You see the level of respect. So these people are of such a level that I don't even consider myself worthy of even taking the names, let alone me presiding over them. See the level of respect. So, we will not take a judgment who is superior. Yes, all our great people, Allah Pak knows who is best, but in that zamana, what happened that people used to take these people as the senior, and this, Hazrat Mawlana would be slightly lower than them. But really, in real life, who was greater? Allah Pak knows best. So we're not going to take a ruling over that. But they would respect each other, and Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah would take them as his seniors, because both of them were his ustads. And they would show him a lot of respect, because of his works, his khidmat and his services, they would show him a lot of respect. Nonetheless, these people had it in them that they would bond with the elders. You look at Shaykh Al-Hind Rahmatullah Ali, he's a senior teacher in Dioban. Everybody's eyes are upon him. All the great, great luminaries you look at, they are all the students of us. Shasab Shaykh Al-Hind Rahmatullah Ali. But with all that to his credit, without fail, every week he would travel by foot after the last period in Dioban. Last period is after Asar. After Asar, he's going on foot 30 kilometers to Gango. In that Zamana where there's bush, etc. But he would walk on foot 30 kilometers from Asar time. He must be reaching around Isha time, right? Because he's going on foot and he's going through that type of roads, right? And 30 kilometers he's traveling. He's coming there maybe after Isha time. The respect that he's got, the muhabbat he's got for his elder. He's already appointed as a senior teacher there. And Dioban is not like small Talimuddin or something. No. It's the whole of India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, all those people. That's the head. You know? Everybody is looking at that as the head of all the madrasas. International. Recognized. And that time it was even more recognized than today. So you can imagine what was the position of Dioban. And the head teacher from there is going on foot to go and meet his elder. Right. The importance to relate to our elder. See, when he, as great as he was, as respected as he was, the position that he enjoyed, then too he doesn't feel himself sufficient. He doesn't feel himself independent of his elder. Every week, come what may, but I'm going to go. I'm going to reach up there. I've got a goal in my life. I've got an objective. I need to go. I know where my objective is. I know where the goal is. See the level of confidence, the level of respect, the rapport that he's got, the difficulty that he's undergoing, the respect he gets here, but that respect doesn't become an impediment to his progress. I am such a person, I am such a great sheikh here, such a great buzrug here, and I must go on foot for all these type of things. He's accompanied by one friend in Gango, and they come at the residence of Hazrat. While Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, perhaps some time of the night after Isha. Now you can imagine Isha is ending at about 9:30, so you must have reached about 10 o'clock, 10:30, quite late into the night. It's a 30 kilometer walk. Right. So he's reaching at about 10:30, all the tiredness, the difficulty, no food, nothing, he ate, right? He comes right at the door and he knocks at the door. Al-Mu'ad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah comes in. And he says, go back straight, go back, U-turn back to Dioban. Now, can you imagine who's talking to who? He's a very great person, but he considers someone else to be even greater than him, right? And that person is giving him marching orders to go back. Can you imagine the difficulty that he's undertaken? The problem, the difficulty is the passion, how impassioned he is about his sheikh and about his senior. And then the senior is instructing him, but you go back from where you came. Right. Around the time, there is that urus that is taking place in Gango, right? So in order for him to reach up to the residence of Hazrat Mu'ad Gangohi Rahmatullahi, he has to cut through the urus and reach up to Hazrat Mu'ad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi. So this person that is accompanying the Shaykh Al-Hind Rahmatullah Ali, he says to Hazrat Mu'ad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, that he didn't know about this Urus celebrations until he had come up to Gango. He didn't know about it. He didn't cut through those Urus celebrations willingly. He didn't take any joy out of it. He didn't even look around. He came here and he noticed that this was happening. Innocently he cut through and he's come to your residence. So Gangohi Rahmatullah's answer to him was that main itna bhola nahi hu. I'm not such a simpleton that I don't know that he didn't come for this Urus celebrations. I'm not such a simpleton. I know about it. Right? Right. But when he saw that there was Urus celebrations going on here, then why didn't he, at the point he realized, he recognized that there is some wrong that is taking place,
He could have just taken a U-turn at that point and go back home. Right? Why did he take the pain to go through this and come to my residence? On the day of Qiyamah, if Allah Ta'ala were to ask, مَنْ كَثَّرَ سُوَادَ قَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ, person who adds to the glory of a people, right? He adds to a glory of the people, then he will be counted from amongst them. A glory of a celebration is based upon the people that are attending that celebration. You are an ijtima and you got 100,000. Don't you consider it to be a successful ijtima? So it's based on the attendance of the people, what type of crowds it attracted, right? You got a fair and a fair got 50,000 people coming in. So don't you call it a successful fair, right? So the glory is based upon the amount of people that attended. That one person that attended, he brought in that percentage of glory to that type of a celebration. Whatever his intention was, but the simple question is, did he add to the glory of this celebration or not? If he's added to it, then what answer is he going to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah? Now there's two points that I need to discuss with you in this regard. One is this, that Shaykhul Hind rahmatullah alayhi, thereafter, his relationship with Maulana Gangur rahmatullah alayhi did not deteriorate at the least. His relationship increased even. Look at the level of this man's commitment to the Sharia, commitment to the Sunnah. I am a person that is about the closest to him, but he didn't even hesitate in telling me what he needed to tell me. So that means this person is totally dedicated to the Sunnah. Friendship, everything else is a secondary matter. It's insignificant in comparison to the relationship and to the commitment that he needs to give to the Hadith, to the Sunnah, and to the style of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, my heart pours out even more for him. As a result, on one occasion, after the Buzurganadeen and Mashaikh, you get all classes of people coming in. You get the wealthy, poor, average class, everybody coming in. Right? Hazmullah Yahya Sahib Rahmatullahi, that is the father of the Shaykh Rahmatullahi. He's in charge of the affairs day at the Khanqa. So this wealthy person pulls in. So Mawlana Yahya Rahmatullah says to himself, this person is used to luxuries. When he's used to luxuries, then Hazrat has got about 3-4 carpets. You know, for Tabarruk, what people do is they put one carpet, another person will come, put another carpet, say, I'll get the barakat also. I'll keep the barakat for a couple of days and I'll take my carpets, at least I get the barakat. So, Mawlana sat down there, he's blind at the time, and he fell the carpet. Muli Yahya, yahan par ek kalin bichaya gaya tha, wo kaha hai? The silence. Second time said, wo kalin kaha hai? Where's the carpet? The third time, now he addressed Mawlana Yahya, Muli Yahya, us kalin ka kya hua? What happened to that carpet? So Mawlana Yahya says, you know what, that wealthy man came in, so for his respect, he's used to a little bit of a comfortable life, so we asked him to rest on it for the days that he will be here. So Mawlana Gangur Rahmatullah's answer was, inke yaha kuch kalino ki kami thi ke unko kalin diya gaya. He is short of any carpet that you have to give him the carpet. To uski adi nawabi wahi khatam ho gayi. You know, he came with a nawab style, wealthy, affluent, a little bit of a mota style now. That mota and all that, half of it got smashed down at that point. Because you coming here for what? To smash down that mota. That I'm a chota now. I'm not always mota, I'm chota now. So to smash, you're coming here for what? To understand who you are. You're the mota now. Now you're coming to become sand. What you are original, you are sand, so you learn how to become a sand. So that mota ship of his, half of it got smashed down at that point. Then, it is meals time. Shaykh Muhammad was coming from a very wealthy background. But when he went into ilm and knowledge and righteousness, then he forgot about all his knowledge. Dressed very, very simply. You won't even tell that he's an alim. But he was, like I say, king of a king in ilm. Look at his ilm, his bayans, etc. So around that meal's time, the Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah sneaked away. He said, no, let me go away. Because see, I'm not dressed up correctly. This Nawab is sitting here. So perhaps that Nawab Sahib won't feel comfortable with my presence. So he's quietly, discreetly, he just sneaked away. Gangway Sahib is blind at the time. So he asked, Moli Mahmood, where are you going to? And then he says, look at the statement of Gangway Sahib says, कि अगर ये नवाब साहब को आपके खाने से आपके खाने में कुछ शर्म और हया महसूस होता हो तो वो अपने खाने का इंतजाम और किसी जगह में कर ले, बाकी हमारा तुम्हारा ताल्लुक मरने जीने के साथ है. दिस इज इफ दिस नवाब इफ ही फील्स लिटिल बिट डिसडेन, ही डजंट फील कंफर्टेबल ईटिंग विद पीपल लाइक अस बिकॉज ऑफ आवर स्टाइल आवर क्लोथिंग एटसेट्रा, देन ही कैन मेक हिज ओन ईटिंग अरेंजमेंट्स. Our ta'alluq and our relationship is with life and death. Now that Nawab Sahib, his islah is done. He's coming for islah, right? And they're doing the islah and they're doing it thoroughly, right? But I say you can do that islah when you got that type of an open rapport. Now, the Shaykh al-Jufi, I'm going to say this much, I don't know how he's going to take the thing. He'll listen one thing or not. He can't digest it. He's going to have an indigestion. He can't follow what I'm going to tell him. So how is Islam going to be done? I will be very, very calm. You know, all the time just compliment him, patawa him, because he's still at the infancy age. He's coming in very, very slowly. He's coming in, he's still in the crutch. So he's making the scratches. In spite of the scratches that he's making, I said, Shabash, wow, what are you doing? Beautiful man. That one that he's writing, I don't know whether he's going to Zululand or New Zealand. But still I have to compliment the child. MashaAllah, wow, what are you doing? I have to compliment him for the misdemeanors, the wrongs that he's doing, I still have to compliment him. Right? But now, the Shaykh can correct the person when that person is coming with that type of an open mind. Clear mind. I'm coming here and whatever he needs to fill in me, he must fill me. He must shout me and he must smash me. Get me right. Allah Ta'ala.